This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Sharon Coleman founded Her Divine Life to help others connect with the infinite side of themselves so they can live a life they love. Her ability to break down overarching spiritual and success concepts into bite-sized pieces is what makes her a standout in her field. And welcome, Sharon, to Lunch with a Healer.
Thank you so much, Susan. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
It's my pleasure. Today we're going to talk about how we can rewire our thoughts to make the lives we want to live a reality. But first, I'm very curious about the story behind the creation of Her Divine Life.
A business executive for years and managed teams of thousands across the United States, which if you knew where I came from is a miracle. But what happened is I had my father come down with serious Alzheimer's. My mom became paralyzed from a stroke, and my little brother had severe Parkinson's and was wheelchair bound. And so my father died, and I thought that my mom was going to run out of money. She'd been in the same house for 44 years. And so I went and became the night nurse for her and my brother, who are both wheelchair bound, died. And it was an incredible time out from the busy world of business that I'd been involved with. And I had always I have helped people through all my years at work. I mean, really spiritually helped people, because I've had profound experiences since I was 26 years old. And I had a near-death experience about 15 years ago that was just, again, shifted everything. I sat there and just realized it's time. Like, this is my path. It's time. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving women and men and helping them make the connection to who they really are. Because I was graced with that experience when I had my near-death experience. So that's how Her Divine Life came to be. And I have loved every minute of it, Susan, every minute of it.
That's quite a story. So I have a lot of questions just on that. So when did you have the epiphany? Was it the near-death experience, or did you have several of them throughout your...
I've had several of them. I had at age 26, I actually wanted to commit suicide and had thought about it for several weeks and not talked about it. And I had an infant daughter. And when I put my daughter down to bed one night, I got on my knees and said probably one of the most sincere prayers I've ever said in my life, which is that if you're out there, help me. And I was completely surrounded in an unbelievable peace and unconditional love. Like, it blew. It was the most wonderful feeling in the world, and I did not want it to end. And so I stayed on my knees, being very naive at that time, for 45 minutes, because I didn't want the visitation to leave. But when I got up, I knew that everything was going to be okay. I didn't know how, but I knew everything was going to be okay. And within 2 days, I met my mentor, who was my mentor for the next 30 years, who was the most divine loving person to this day I've ever met on the earth, walking the earth. And so everything started to change then, right? And she was a deeply connected, and I mean, that's such an understatement, deeply connected spiritual being. And she helped us understand neurologically, psychologically, and spiritually what was going on with the traumas of our past, and helped us learn to rewire our subconscious mind and change our life. So my experience started from there, right? And I actually, I can't even tell you, when I talk about my life beforehand, it just seems so unreal that that was me, but it was. And so that was epiphanies happening along the road all those years that shifted me dramatically from a waitress who was broke, working three jobs, in poverty, driving the ugliest car you've ever seen. My son used to refuse to get in my car. And from that to, you know, without education, interestingly enough, and it's not that I love education for people. If that helps them, I think that's wonderful. But I didn't have any more education. And mm-hmm. I ended up going from that to a vice president of large organization, and all from inwardly changing your subconscious mind. Yes. So I've had a life that was like, I'm so happy. I mean, I'm just one of these people that I love my life. And it's been a profound journey. The near-death experience, Susan, was, it shifted everything again in a higher way for me. And I had an amazing conversation on the other side that shifted everything. And yeah, so I guess a lot of epiphanies. I've been a very graced person in my life. Yeah. I've been deeply dedicated and diligent to learn and to shift and to help others. So that's been my calling, I guess. So that's kind of, that's a long story. I'm sorry, but that's how my life came to be.
That's fascinating. So how old were you when you had the near-death experience? It was later in your path.
Oh, yeah. It was in 2007, and I almost died from something called MRSA. So I had a blood clot in my leg and my lung, and I had 7 open wounds on my body. I was in ICU. They'd already had me say goodbye to my kids. I mean, it was really at the end, so to speak. But one day I was in the room, and I literally felt my soul, which I didn't know what it was at the time, leaving the top of my head. And I literally said to the nurses in the room, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. Now, I didn't understand what I was saying or what I was doing, but I woke up. I did see the beautiful tunnel of lights and all the lights. And I woke up in a place of, you know, the unconditional love and peace I had felt when I was 26. This made it look like kindergarten. It was the most, I just can't describe it. You don't want anything. You can't want anything. You have everything. You are everything. It's the most incredible place ever. And then I had this profound conversation that altered things that I'd always believed. I mean, just shook myself to the core. And when I came back from that, I still spent the next 4.5 months in the hospital. That's how sick I was. But I lived, obviously. And I believe that was to be part of my path.
When you were in the other realm, did they basically say to you, do you want to stay here or do you want to go back? Did they give you that choice?
What's so funny is that did not happen for me. Okay. It felt as though to me, when the conversation ended, I guess, you know, it's interesting. As part of the conversation, we were talking about things that were going on Earth, right? And so it felt as though I was learning for returning.
Okay.
I was learning for returning.
Absolutely.
So in the beginning, when I first got there, I knew I was dead. And I actually said to this, you know, whatever one chooses to call it, it makes no matter mind to it or me. Right. And, but I said, oh, is this where we do the death inventory? Because I knew I was dead. And this beautiful, pure love said to me, I call it the divine, said to me, no, my child, I never punish you. Every time you broke your integrity, when you were on earth, you punished yourself.
Right.
I do not punish you.
That goes along exactly with this book I've just finished reading called Dying to Be Me. Have you read that?
Oh, I met her. Yeah, I've met her.
Anita Morjani, really? Yeah. Well, that's exactly what she says.
Oh, how funny. And I haven't read her book.
Oh, really? Well, you must.
I guess, yeah.
The message is the same. Yeah. That
wow.
We're not judged.
And we I didn't know that. I really will have to read her book. She's
you'll love it.
Woman. She has an energy on her that is... Now this is going to be a funny thing to say. It's a familiar energy to me.
Yeah.
But I think you come back with it on you. And that's been my experience since I returned that it's tangible. Yeah. And she's like that.
You know, I'm intrigued by your story because your story is so important because it informs the rest of your life. Yes. So this, how did you meet this incredible woman who became your mentor?
Oh man, I'll tell you. So when I was 26 years old, I had made a decision to get sober. So even though I had only drank from the ages of 17 to 26, trust me, Susan, I did serious damage in those years. I ran off and married an Eskimo, lived in an Eskimo village. I mean, I was a busy, busy girl. And my thing was not that I drank, like no one around me would agree that I was an alcoholic, okay? But the problem was I knew that once I started drinking, I could not control how much I drank. And I would drink until every single drop I could find was gone. There was no. So I myself took myself to AA. And interestingly enough, there was a woman's meeting, and I did not like women when I started my journey, I will tell you. Did not like women, wouldn't talk to women, didn't want to be around women, only wanted to be around men. And this lady calls me 2 days after that happened. A lady calls me that I did not know. And she invited me to a women's meeting. Well, for me, it's like, you know, inside of me, my head, I'm like, no, in hell am I going to a women's meeting? But I knew I had to go. Like, I knew that voice that I listen to all the time now, I knew I had to go. And so I went, and there was, oh God, now I'm going to cry, but there was the most beautiful woman in front of this room. And she was talking about meditation and some other things. And all I knew is I wanted everything she had. I was so drawn to her. I can't, and I believe that's what happens when you meet your teacher. And we have many teachers in life, but you're drawn to them. It's a, you know, it's a deep, deep knowing. Like, I don't know why, but I have to call this person, right? I have to be with this person. And so I went up to her afterwards. She laughs about it. And my blue jean mini skirt and long blonde ponytail. I mean, I was something back then, let me tell you. And said, hi, I want to learn about meditation. Well, now I'm going to tell you a story that I probably shouldn't tell online, but I'm just tell it quickly. That is, I had met someone and was sleeping with them. And this person told me that what we were doing was meditation. And I was so naive, I believed it. And so she knew psychically when I said, I want to learn more about meditation. She knew what I meant. That's and she kind of just looked at me and said, I know, honey, I know. Okay, we'll do that, right? But she, I had no idea what I was asking for. But she had been told that I was coming. She had been told that I was going to be there. In fact, she said I was late when I got there. And so it's just all divine. It's all the divine. We're constantly loved and supported in ways that if we all really understood, it would just blow our minds. But we're never alone. And we're so constantly loved and in the highest of ways that that was just one indication of it, Susan, but it was the beginning of everything for me. That was the beginning of this path and everything for me. So that's how I met her.
Okay. So we'll get into the process of your own recovery and rewiring of your own brain. But along the way, you didn't develop Her Divine Life for many years. First, you became the executive, and then you just... You have had quite a
time. I have. Now, I will tell you that the work that I did and all the positions that I was given was by the divine, because I didn't go to work like other people go to work. I went to work to lift up people. Oh. And I knew I had already turned myself over completely and said that I don't care if you erase my person. I don't care what you erase in my life, as long as it's not my beautiful children. Mm-hmm. I give myself completely to you. So if that means my entire personality changes, if that means I didn't care. I will go anywhere and do anything to serve you. And to me, that's divine love. And my path took off like crazy. I mean, I was literally promoted at one time, 11 times in 5 years.
So that's what did you do? What kind of work were you doing?
Oh, so I managed multiple businesses at one time. So as an example, I managed 89 Borders bookstores. I managed over 130 pet hospitals. I managed 54 CVS front store and pharmacy operations. I managed multiple businesses locations all over. Linens and Things was my start. managed those in three different states. So yeah, I just had a, I had a outrageous career.
But how is that helping others? You know, how is that in service to others?
Because it's not about the business. It's about the people that work with you.
So you were and a beloved manager.
Oh my gosh. I worked for them. They did not work for me. I've never felt like anybody worked for me in my life. Okay. I worked for them. The higher you go, the more you should be working for the people that are working supposedly for you. No, you work for them. So the amount of people that I had these deep spiritual conversations, and it wasn't just that, even if it wasn't that kind of conversation, it was this unbelievable thing of lifting them up to what they chose in this lifetime and helping them realize what their dreams were in every area of their life. So I was in fact, I was laughing on Mother's Day. I got 36 Mother's Day texts, and some of those people have not worked for me in over 25 years.
That's beautiful.
Because I love people and I love helping people. And I'm honestly, it's a gift.
Yeah,
like I'm very good at it. And, but so it was, so it's so weird, Susan, it was never about the business. Okay. It was never, but I would be given all the results that were outstanding to keep supporting the work that I was doing with people inside of that framework.
I totally understand it. That's the way it should be.
That is the way. Yes. Yeah. I think I'm going to write a book called Using the L Word at Work. L-O-V-E.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Why haven't you written a book yet?
So funny. I have so many people. I have said, when you actually hear my whole life story, you would be blown away. And people, I've had hundreds of people. I laugh all the time at the guides and say, okay. I don't know. Because I have written thousands of pages. I mean, it's already there.
Right.
I just need to stop and put it together. I don't know. And my mentor, Anne, had told me, you're going to write books. And also children's books. And I just received the gift of my first grandchild. And now I understand why children's books. I get it. Because you want to be able to share everything that will help them have their best life and have a soul-connected journey. Like you really. So it's a great question. I wish I knew the answer.
Oh, it'll be there. All right. Let's get down to it now, because I could do the whole podcast on your biography, on your life.
No, we don't need to do that.
Okay. How did you rewire your brain to become who you are today?
Okay, so it is a actual detailed process. It truly is. And I'm going to start by saying, firstly, you have to have recognition from an observer standpoint that you are not who you have always thought you are. There has to be this observation and true understanding. Children are programmed between 0 and 8 years old of existence, and they are a sponge in a super beta state of learning, and they absorb every energy. Now, this is interesting. When babies are held by their parents, they memorize the eye language of the parents. So where the parents have been able to go in themselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if there is, babies memorize it in their eyes when they're being held. So you're literally absorbing like a sponge the experiences, emotions, energy, thoughts of everything going on around you. So I work with parents. I do a lot with parenting, and I work with parents who say, but Sharon, I never fought in front of my children. It has no matter or meaning. They felt it. We think like, oh, well, they weren't in this room, so they don't know. And I'm like, oh, I guarantee you they knew. And they made decisions based on it. And yet the age of reasoning is the age of 8 to 9 years old. And that means you don't have discernment until that age.
Right.
So if you don't ever become aware that you're not who you think you are, I always say I'm an unteacher, Susan. Like right. I'm trying to unteach everybody everything they know, they think they know, so they can meet themselves and actually be in their spirit, their soul, right? And so firstly, it is awareness. That's the first step. I call it notice what you're noticing. You've got to notice what thoughts are going through your head. And now you've got to question. You've got to question. Now, everybody only has about four of what I call taught habit patterns. There's not a lot of them. This isn't an overwhelming thing, but those four can cause defeat in key areas of your life to where you're always feeling unfulfilled. Like, why can't I do that? Why does everybody around me do that? And I can't do that, right? So becoming aware of it, then you literally do have to stop and figure out, wow, this is my programming. So what are the effects that this has had in my life? Where can I see the trails of this? Because they're neuron connects, synaptic connections in the brain. So where can I see the effects of this in my world? Then the adult person, not the child, makes a decision. What is it that's in my heart that was written on my heart that's my birthright, that is me, that I'm here to do and connect to who you really are? And it's right there in your heart. It's not hard. It's unknowing this part and then getting in touch with this. And at that point, you can easily write what it is that feels right to you for your life in that moment. Because you and I both know, Susan, you go through different life stages. Right. We change dramatically what we choose to have in our life, right?
Yeah.
So it's at that time that you choose what it is. Now, the problem with when you choose it, most people say, oh, well, I'm going to do positive affirmations. And I think to myself, well, good luck. Yeah. Affirmations are completely meaningless. You programmed your subconscious mind with deep emotional states, and you must do the same thing. So you've got to believe more in the inner world than in the outer world. You've got to literally believe more in your vision and see it as happening now. Like so many people, when they have something they want or a dream, they put it out here, Susan, like, and so think about it. It's always moving away from them because it's out here. It's one day, someday out here. And so it's never going to happen. So the key is to literally realize and see it as happening now. And I mean, you've got to five sensorize it. Because that's why when people say a positive, I feel sad. It's like gratitude and positive affirmations. People are like, well, it didn't work. And I think, no, because you didn't realize it and five sensorize it.
Exactly.
Okay. You're literally allowing, you're thinking you did it and you didn't do anything. All you did is add another thought to the 10,000 thoughts that are in your brain. And the old one's programming, taught habit pattern, is going to override the now. I don't care what you do. And so then they give up, and that just breaks my heart when they were right there. The key was right there the whole time and always within them. When I came back from the near-death experience, okay, I was always a little bit psychic, but I became completely clairvoyant and clairaudient.
Like, you still have that?
Oh, all the time. Constantly. It's constant. And what's so funny is people will say to me, can I have a reading? And I don't do it like that. Like, I have all these healer friends and they're like, Sharon, you can do it. And I'm, yeah. I do it when I'm in front of someone and the message comes from their guides of what they want them to know. I'm obedient and I always give the message. Not sometimes. Unless they say, you know, you're the devil, or, you know, they don't believe in it. And, you know, and then I here's what I do. I know that before I go. So I say to them later, they just think, isn't it funny that that old lady that I met knew that this was going to, And I prepare them for what's coming so that when it happens, they can make a better decision for themselves.
So even when you're in line behind someone at the grocery store, if this happens, really,
honey, constantly. Constantly. I just went to visit my baby grandson in Phoenix this weekend. And there was literally a woman who was cleaning our room. And I'm like, oh no, here we go. Full download on. And I mean, she was sobbing because her mom who had recently passed.
Yeah.
And she had this beautiful message for her daughter. And so it's just, you never know. You don't know if it's going to be, you know, someone's spirit that comes through from the other side, or whether it's going to be a message literally, like, you know, I've also given warnings that to me are so strong. I mean, they've made them so strong that it's just blown my mind. I can't even tell you. I'm given people's childhood. Like I'm literally, they show me the person as a small child. And wow. I can see the energy and everything that was going on with them.
What about, do you get messages about your own life?
You know, that's so funny. I do. You're going to laugh. I actually got one on Mother's Day and I was like, what is this? Because what it was, really, I still have to take care of it, was you need to check on long-term health care, even if it's a couple hundred dollars a month. That was the message. And I was like, what's going to happen? Why do I do that?
But, that's bizarre.
Yeah, but they're rare. I mean, they're rarer for me, but I get, you know, what I would call downloads or like there's some, when I go out in public, that's when it can become like crazy.
Right.
Because I can really pick up on a lot. And then it just depends on the person and if they want to talk to that person and if there's something they need them to know.
Right.
Always loving, by the way, always. Sometimes harsh. I mean, very rarely though, but like I've done that for like people, like I had a lady who had her car stolen and they had this harsh message for her that she was creating drama and negativity and that she had to stay completely clean for 24 hours. I almost screamed it at her, Susan. Like I couldn't believe myself. I was like, and I've known her for years and I've never raised my voice to this woman. And I almost screamed it at her. Not understanding the outcome, they actually put me in the energy of the person who'd stolen her car, which was awful. And the next day, and so they were screaming at her, you have to stay clean, go watch comedy, do anything, do not tell another person this negative story, blah, blah, blah. And the next day her car got returned to her. The police called her and had found her car. And here's what's so funny. They had told me, you're going to laugh, Susan, she'd been trash talking. Is what they told me, right? Her car was full of bags of trash.
Oh my.
No harm, but it was full of, and I was just like, oh my gosh. So the reason they got so harsh with her was because she had to shift her energy or she wouldn't have gotten her car back. There was just the weirdest stuff. You're like, okay, whatever, right?
That's amazing. You're talking about how you go about changing your life and rewiring your brain. And it sounds so simple, and we all know it's simple. Basically, you were describing creative visualization.
It's a part of it, simple process, but it's a hard thing to do because you have to believe, literally believe more in that inner truth and vision that you're creating than you can in the outside world. So when your center of belief is in outside, you're going to believe in things like blame and circumstances. It happened to me. It happened around me. And I think, but you yourself hold the key to creating your reality every moment of every day. And when you use your reality as feedback to what you're creating, you are empowered to then change it. But no, I don't think it's easy. It takes repetition, okay? It takes repetition and it takes, and but remember again, you've only got like three or four things. And if you're lucky, maybe you've got two, right? That are actually derailing you from having what it is that is yours in this life. And by the way, if people understood how supported they are financially, spiritually, emotionally, if they understood, they'd be blown away because there is no such thing as lack. It does not exist. But like, if you look at a lot of people's thought patterns, they have this insidious thread of these old, I was telling my daughter the other day, I was like, you know, Bonnie, it's so crazy because, you know, it's superstition. When people tap into common consciousness, common thinking, right? Common hour thinking with everyone else, they're going to get superstition. It is the same level of consciousness that believed that the world was flat.
Right.
Or that there was, that's the level of consciousness that prejudice exists in. Right. How can you possibly believe in prejudice?
Exactly.
But it's in that level of consciousness that seems real. And it's just like crazy. Right. Like you couldn't be, it could not. What's so funny is we are, although we have individual expressions, we are all one. And you know that when you're on the other side. There's no doubt, you know, 100%, right? Like, you know, all these things, right? So I actually think it's hard work that takes support, takes someone you know, to support you. And I don't care who it is. I don't even believe in competition. I'm so thrilled. I think there could be thousands and thousands and millions of people that do what we do, and we still wouldn't have enough to help the world right now. Right. So it has no matter meaning. You go to the one that resonates with you because that's your teacher. Even if it's for a period of time,
right?
You know, it's your teacher. Like, I have a mentor right now and I just adore her. And there's things that I teach her and there's things she shares with me, but I love different insight. Don't you? Like, people's different insight.
Well, that's why I'm doing this. It's fascinating. Even yourself, who I would say is spiritually elevated, you still need, or you still want more input.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I'll ever stop growing and learning, ever. There's no way. I'm reading an amazing book. I don't ever stop. I'm fascinated.
Me too.
The older I get, the less I know is what I say, Susan. And I know that I know less. I know there's more out there, right? So yes, I love learning. I love growing spiritually. I work on it every day, becoming more and more closer to unconditional love and peace. I work on it every day. I mean, my gosh, I only have what I have because of the generosity of the divine. It's right. Not me. And all the messages that come through me, it's not me. I tell people all the time, honey, don't get it mixed up with the messenger, because I'm just a messenger. I'm just willing to hold that space and listen and repeat what I'm told. I am willing, because it always helps someone. It never hurts someone, right?
Okay. I understand quantum physics. I understand how it works. It is logical. It makes sense, but I can't do it. I mean, I have done it at points in my life, but there is resistance in me. I think a lot of people listening to this will be able to relate. How do you unknow yourself to be able to open up?
You get very used to there always being resistance. This is important. You do it with the resistance, Susan. Now, here's the most, okay, I speak strongly about neutrality. Now, neutrality is I have ceased fighting everything and everyone around me. Neutrality is peace and unconditional love. Okay, but it does start with a decision. But the point is, people think they have to stop the resistance to move forward. It's a lie. That is such a lie that will keep you from evolving. You feel the resistance, you feel the fear, and you take the new action no matter what. It doesn't matter if you don't believe. It doesn't matter if you think, oh, this is hogwash. It does not matter. It has no matter meaning, because that is your thinking mind.
Right.
You're not your thinking mind. You're the one that's right underneath it. You're not your thinking mind. So if people this is what happens. They let fear stop them in some level, because resistance is fear. Now, your body is psychologically, spiritually, physically, neurologically bent to keep you in the exact position that you are right now in the world. In your life. It's called homeostasis.
Right.
And the moment that you go to move out of it, I just had a girl today, thank God, that's a client of mine, and we finally got her an eating disorders clinic, and she's changing dramatically. And she had a dream last night that this eating thing came to try to eat her up. And she's like, what is it? And I'm like, it's your ego. This is the best possible news. You're finally making a shift. So what happens is, I call it like DEFCON 3. That resistance that you feel, that, oh, you better stop here, Susan. Don't go forward. Stop, stop, stop. You can't do this. That's bull. It's not even real, honey. But unless you have that, I really believe people have to have guidance. I do. Because the thing is, what stops you personally is your patterns. You can't use all the spiritual stuff and spiritual books and say, okay, now I'm going to do this. You've got to know what your own insidious pattern is, but it's yours that's stopping you, honey. It's your own. and everybody's got them. We all do, man. I think I had something happen the other day and I was like, wow, like look at that thing go. But I am so prepared and understand that it's not me, that right. When it comes up, I have a different choice now. And I mean, because I've developed right. A part of me that is a watcher. And so very quickly, I'm like, shift, 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 go do anything, go for a walk, get up, shift, listen to music, go on and look at a YouTube, do anything but shift, quickly shift out of that pattern, because it's a neurological connect. Now, some of them I have are gone. I mean, they're gone. I have created new neurological pathways that are wonderful and the others are gone. But they're so deep seated. You got to understand, Susan, some of what happened to us happened before we even had language. Imagine before you had language to interpret or understand it, you had some of these shifts. So what happens is you feel like I have no words. I can't do this. It's too deep. I can feel it and it's too deep. I know exactly what it's like. I had one of the most traumatic upbringings. Traumatic upbringing. Okay. My mother was severely mentally ill and a schizophrenic. So I trust me, I have gone through the hoops. Okay. But so the thing is, what can you do with what you have? But I will tell you this, I know this for a fact. You can if you choose, but man, you've got to be willing. If you choose to do the work, you can have a life where every day you wake up and say, I love my life. Oh, I love my life. I would not trade places with anyone else on this earth.
It sounds divine. I mean, it's actually heaven on earth. That would be heaven on earth.
Let me tell you something. Heaven on earth is real. I will tell you this, Susan. I'm not, now it doesn't mean I'm a human being. I'm a woman. I'm fallible. I got a temper. I got all kinds of shit. I am not perfect, darling. None of us are. There's no such thing. We're human beings, human exactly. Messes.
Right.
We're human beings.
That we are.
So I'm a human just like everybody else out there. But I have learned to reprogram. You know, a lot of people talk about reprogramming, but I don't know what they're doing. And so sometimes it doesn't have lasting effect. There's a difference between doing this work, but it's also a choice. But mostly you've got to unconnect to who you think you are, because who you are is right here the whole time.
Someone listening to this might say, okay, I can do what Sharon's doing. I'll just meditate. My resistances will come to the surface. And can those people do it by themselves through meditation?
I have to tell you, Susan, I don't know. And here's why I say I don't know. I don't know. I've never done it that way. So I don't know that I know that answer. Here's what I see. I'll be very honest with you. I have a lot of friends that are unbelievable healers. Okay. I mean, amazing healers that I can tell you in different places on this earth. Outrageous. But they never handled the stuff that they came to this earth to handle, which is their taught habit patterns. But you made a decision before you were born to handle these taught habit patterns, this journey to learn about love and you made a decision. So you can bypass it and try to stay in the spiritual world your whole journey. But when you leave, I'm sorry, but you're going to get sent back to do the same stuff again because you didn't do it.
I agree.
So I see lots of my friends that are deeply spiritual, beautiful human beings that have an awful life because they've never handled their human taught habit pattern. That's just what I call them, taught habit pattern. You know what I mean, though. So we all know what that is. So do I think you can bypass it? You know, my Annie used to say to me, that's okay, Sharon, don't do it this lifetime. And I would always be like, oh, dang. Like, come on, Annie, because then you're like, I don't want to come back and do this again.
Exactly.
Right. But so, no, I think that a lot of people spiritually stay on that high and they do not handle it. So they don't have a good life while they're here, even though they can heal people. They can be completely connected. They can have messages. They can do all that. But they didn't handle their own stuff, honey. And we're here to do that. We decided to do it.
That's really interesting.
That's why, like you doing what you do, Susan, you're listening to your heart. you're listening, or you wouldn't be doing this amazing podcast. You're an amazing lady. You wouldn't be doing it, honey.
Okay,
you're on your path.
What modalities then do you use with your clients?
I teach spiritual truths that I know, okay, that I know and that I've learned, that can alter, they literally tweak the way you look at life so that you see it from an entirely different perspective, and then it sets your own perspective free. I do that. I do a lot of one-on-one because we've got to get to your taught habit patterns. So I do one-on-one, and that's very impactful for me because I hear the guides normally when we're doing the sessions. And so they're helping me guide you to what's going on inside of you that needs to be healed. And you'll have these outrageous ahas, and you'll never be the same again because you've literally looked at it from the observer part of yourself, and you'll never believe it again. When it comes up, it'll be, oh my gosh, this is my pattern. And you will have a new choice as to how you choose to deal with it. I teach workshops. I give spiritual retreats. I do all kinds of things. I just love being with people. So I love doing the in-person stuff. Like, I love my retreats because they're so meaningful and impactful. I would probably do them all the time, but I'd be gone all the time.
Do you give your students or clients exercises then?
I have a class that's every Monday evening. We're starting a new one in a couple of weeks. And there's literally 12 modules that are filmed with a workbook. And every single one, you have an exercise to help drive home how to do it and how to get your own information. So I have like a group program that we do that. And every Monday evening, we do a class. And then every once a month, we do a question and answer where I've stayed on the phone up to 3 hours to answer every single person's questions.
Surprised at that. Have you seen some extraordinary transformations?
Oh my gosh. You should see. Yeah. There's some of them on my website, but outrageous. And I do not credit myself with them. You need to understand. But outrageous. Like, I just had a girl that was with me for a 3-month program, and we ended on Monday. And she said, I had 4 goals. I had goals I didn't even tell you about when we started working together. And I thought if I could accomplish one of these, it would be well worth the investment. She said, Sharon, I accomplished all 4. She said, I no longer care about people's outside opinions of me at all. It's gone. I have what I would consider confidence because I love myself now. And so I have boundaries. She wanted boundaries. She's like, now I just say them. I'm just myself and I say them. And she had a serious addiction, Susan, that she had not been able to get over with therapists in about 20 years, and it's gone. So yeah, I have amazing results. Again, I don't take credit for those results, honey. I have help.
You're the facilitator. You're the teacher.
I'm a facilitator.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for 35 years. So you can
imagine
the
scope. So once these blocks, people learn to open up and allow their true message to come, people that couldn't find their purpose, the purpose will become clear.
It is there. It's there.
It's there.
It's hidden underneath this other. But Susan, it's there.
Do you think everyone has a purpose?
Oh, they do. I do. I don't think it. I know it from when I was on the other side. They all have a purpose. Now, they can have several purposes in a lifetime, I will tell you. So I believe it goes in passages and that they shift. Like, I'm at a point in my life now where everything has become about spirituality. Like, it is my living, breathing. Everything is, I mean, like everything. Now, I've studied and been involved in it since I was 26, but now it goes to this deeply profound being because we're on our way. We're actually transitioning. Okay. And so, but when I was raising children, it was about how do I parent my children so that my children end up being these amazing, you know, that are do so well emotionally, spiritually, mentally in the world, and mine do. And that's a miracle if you knew where I came from with my mom. That's a miracle. but they are such outstanding. I was with my son all weekend and his wife, and I was like, they're so normal.
I know exactly what
they're
you mean.
They're so normal. Their problems are so little, and they're so happy, and they're loving and kind and altruistic. And I'm like, man, this is crazy. Like, you know, and I was their mom. Like, really? Wow. Cool stuff. Amazing. So yeah, we change depending upon the passage of life. Career was huge for me at one time in my life. Right. And huge, right? And so I think it just depends on what people need. I've owned my own businesses. So I do business consulting. I do whatever that individual's path is, because you don't know what it is. It's different for everybody.
Right. You know? And if you're open, who knows what comes, right?
That's right.
So I would imagine once you start allowing, the manifesting of what you want is the simplest thing.
It is simple, but again, it's hard because you've got to believe in something that you have no outside evidence of.
Right.
So I believe the hardest thing you can ever do in this life, I truly believe it's the hardest thing ever, is remain focused and in faith on the thing that is within your heart and you can see it, more than believing the outside circumstances. As an example, if you're someone that wants to earn money, okay, and you've got a money issue, which are so easy to find, it's stupid. But if you have a money issue, okay, so let's say, but your bank account says I'm overdrawn. But the truth is that we are in abundance, and you know how much money, and you've seen it. It's got legs on it. I call them legs. And you've gone through the whole process, and you've given an exact place for the money to go, and you've done all the things, and you've seen it happening, already happened, like it already happened, okay. Think about the faith it takes to believe more in what's inner world, but you are creating your reality 24 hours a day. So why don't you create one that you love instead of creating the one that's coming automatically, right?
Yeah. You're so animated. You're so passionate about this. I can see you have such a belief. It's almost like you want to shake everyone and say, listen,
I do.
It is.
I really do. I really do. And you know what? I do. And you can't, right? Because here's the thing. It has to resonate with them.
Right.
They have to be willing. And what's so sad is some of them, do you understand that everyone is this close all the time to the truth? And yet they can live their whole life. I have a saying where some people live their life 90 years. They live their life the same year. Same year, 90 times, repeatedly. It's so sad. It's so sad. And then there are people that live 90 years, 1 year at a time. And it's and it is not repetitive in nature, and they continue to grow and evolve and spiral up. So yeah, you do want to shake people, especially the ones that think they're not enough. And they're believing these lies, and they don't even remember being programmed or any of it going in. But the evidence is outstanding. I mean, you can see those patterns. It'll blow your mind. And when people see them, when people can see, oh my gosh, and they can see the repetitiveness in their life of repeating the same thing, whether it's the same man or the same woman, it's the same job, it's the same feelings, because they're doing it and they don't even know it. So yeah, I'm with you, girlfriend. I'd shake them if I could.
Yeah. And you know, I bet it's 99% of the people that live 90 years the same day.
I don't think it's 99%. And I think the percentage is widening. So right now, if you become a student of all this, as an example, you are going to escalate so much faster than I did. It's going to happen so much faster, because that's happening right now. It is so real. I can't tell you. Yeah. So before, you would have had to go through all the aches and pains and all these many things I went through over 30 some years. But now, no, Susan, I watch people and it blows my mind how fast they can get it, because it's open now, because we have changed, not are going to, we'll continue to, but we changed. We changed dramatically on December 21st last year. We changed dramatically. And so, I mean, a year ago, not this last year. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, So yeah, they can learn it and they'll get things. I watch it. I can tell when someone clicks. I can see internally if they got in their subconscious and I can feel the click. And I'll say to them, "You just got that, didn't you?" And they'll be like, "Oh, I did." I mean, it's just, and then the whole world changes and they'll never go back to that space again without knowing. And so that right. means they're free. Right? But yeah, it's faster now. It is. I mean, don't you wish we'd have started during this time, Susan? Like, it's faster now. It's wow. easier to help people to facilitate that knowing than it ever was before. Oh, yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. Are you a meditator?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I actually believe in staying in a state of meditation as I move through my day.
Mm.
So that means, but my internal reference point is internal. I believe what they say over anything I hear out here. Do you understand?
I do.
I believe what the guides say because they're 100% trustworthy and they come from love.
Right.
So I listen internally, not to my head. That's noise. I listen internally and I listen to them. And that's where I listen. So my ear is actually that way, you see, not towards what's going on in the outside world.
So you've been able to be in kind of a meditative state. That's your goal, rather than just setting a half an hour, 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. You know, meditation is to be still.
Right.
No, I mean, and here's the thing. I feel so sad about meditation sometimes because people make it hard for other people. Oh, you have to do this, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have to have the awareness and understanding that you're not your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. And I know so many people that have tried to meditate and then they stop. And I'm like, oh my gosh, well, I didn't do it right. There is no right or wrong.
Exactly. It could be a walk. It could be anything. It could be sitting.
It could be anything. It could be bicycling.
Right.
It can be walking your dog. It can right. be anything. It's not some hard, fast thing. You are a meditative state. You need to hear this. That's who you are. You are stillness.
I understand this perfectly. And I think it should be everybody's goal to be able to achieve that, because you're exhibiting it to me right now. The sense of freedom and laughter and I can see the inner joy. You know, it's why be serious? This is
yeah. Yeah. We all take ourselves far too seriously, let me tell you. Oh yeah. My, the drama. We all are writing our own stage production every day, and it's a very serious one. My goodness. You know, people get mad when you laugh all the time. Trust me,
they
look at you and I'm like, and guess what I do? I keep laughing because it's the truth.
What's a daily non-negotiable for you, Sharon?
Stillness is a daily non-negotiable for me. And being aware, I mean, staying aware that it's a thought, not a thing. That okay. They're not real. So when a thought comes up, if it's compelling and I start to listen, I have a process where I immediately bring, hey, you're listening to a thought right now. And you're following it like, knock it off, wake up. That's a non-negotiable.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, a few years ago, I read a book, wonderful book by Michael Singer called The Untethered Soul.
I'm reading it again now.
Yeah, I've read it several times.
Book. It's a great book. So much truth.
So much truth. And I read it and it was very impactful. But then life happens.
Life will always happen, Susan, without, yeah. I promise you, it will always happen if, yeah, I know, I get it, honey, I truly get it. But you see, the real you read that book and knew the truth.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Where can my listeners find you and find out about your workshops and private counseling? Where's the best
place? Well, I have a website that is www.herdivinelife.com. On that website, I offer a free workshop. And it really gives people the basics to where even if that's all they do, they'll get something out of it. And I hold those like every 2 to 3 weeks. They're in person. They're not taped. It's me. And so I would say sign up for the online workshop. And it's an hour. It's normally in the evening. Even if you sign up, it would be recorded and sent to you afterwards if you are working or you can't make the date or time or whatever. I would say that's a great way to begin because it helps people start to really understand the basics of what's going on with them and it gives them some tools. So I would say that's probably the best way to start. And then, you know, the retreats and different things are, I mean, some of them are on there. It's not perfect. I also do in-person workshops, depending upon where people are. I do all my clients over Zoom. I have clients around the world and I do it all on Zoom. And it's the most effective tool. I'm just thrilled with Zoom, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Are you on Instagram as well?
I'm on all that stuff. I post on social media like every day, every other day. I do consistently. And I do put positive messages on there to remind people of the truth of who they are. So that's what's on there. And there every once in a while, like I also have a private Facebook group. And on there, I do a lot of lives and things as things come up and the guides tell me like, go put this in there. I'll go put information in there for people. So that's available too. And I think that's under Her Divine Life on Facebook. It's a group. So I'm not that technologically savvy, but I have a wonderful assistant who is, bless his heart.
Okay. Wonderful. So, wonderful. I'll find it. Instagram is probably Her Divine Life as well.
I would imagine. Yeah.
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This was wonderful. I'm so glad that we connected.
Thank you so much. I feel the same way. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Now you can share your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.